Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Apostle Etta Banks, and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. Good morning. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And truly, it is another beautiful day. I want to say good morning to my beloved co-host, my dear daughter in the Lord, someone that is precious and kind and loyal and faithful and dependable, someone that I can trust, a confidant, beautiful inside and outside. She's everything that a person would need to be a partner with, to be a friend with, to be in any form of a relationship with, or whatever part she shares in your life. You have been blessed, and that would be none other than Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning. Good morning, beloved. It's so good to hear your excited, enthusiastic voice. If you know, if you're sleeping, your voice is going to wake you up and make you jump up and shout for joy and give the Lord some praise. So it's good to hear you. I know you enjoyed yourself. We missed you last week, but you needed to get the rest and relaxation that God wanted you to have. And thank you for being obedient.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, I'm learning in my old age. I am learning. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. And I want to thank you, precious, you know, for doing you and doing the part of being so dependable and so loyal. And I heard y'all had a great show last week, you know, and you're awesome. And I thank God. I thank God. You know, God makes no mistakes when he makes divine connections. There are no mistakes in it. And he knew what he was doing however many years ago. How many years has it been since we've known each other
now? Let me see, since 2008 or 2009, I believe.
You know, we have to look at summer camp days to remember how long it's been, because it's been back then.
Mm-hmm.
I think your son was, what, 10 years old then?
He's 23.
Nine or 10. And he's 23. Okay. All righty. So then there you go. That's how long it has been. And it was a divine connection. It was a divine connection and God's timing and so forth. So I truly do praise the Lord for it. I praise the Lord for it. Even, you know, with the people that we have met here on the radio show, there are divine connections here, you know. Not everybody that comes on the show is a divine connection, but there are people that God has purposed to be in our lives personally, not just as fans, you know, for Heart to Heart. And they came to us through this show, you know. So we give God the glory and the honor, you know, for divine connections. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So good morning to Tamika. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was so funny because I was thinking this morning, I had to wake up to do this show, and y'all, I have been on vacation all week from the 2nd of July to the 9th of July. Been on vacation. I did not have to wake up early. I didn't have to answer any calls. I didn't have to do anything but relax, relate, and release. And I did all three of those things. So it was a beautiful time in the Lord, a beautiful time in the Lord. And today when I had to get myself together to do the show, said to Tabika, I'm telling on myself, y'all. I'm telling. I said to Tabika, who set this show up at 9 o'clock in the morning? made me do that? And I said, ah, I remember. Patsy Anderson said that it would be nice for me to follow behind Tamika Shelton, the young lady that showed me how to do the show. She said, you two have such great personalities, and I think that with the flow of the shows that are on, you following behind her would be just so excellent, so great. And so needless to say, she was on at 8:30 in the morning. No, 8. She was on at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 to 9, and I came on 9 to 10. And so here we are. So I know how we got here. I know how we got here. So good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, my darling. I love you, love you, love you. To Joyce and Lester Richardson, good morning to you. Teresa, God bless you, my dear friend, for 19 years, right, since 1965. So I use my 19, since 1965. Good morning to you, beloved. Good morning to Prophetess Kim, to Prophetess Dorn. Praise be unto God. To the Isaiahs, thank you, Jesus. God bless you. To Deacon Banks, to Rob, to bless her heart. Joyce in New York, good morning to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you, woman of God. And good morning to all of the listeners from New Vision for Life. We praise God, and we welcome all new callers this morning. Good morning to you. May God continue to bless you in this awesome month of July. Half the year is gone, and we're heading in on the downstroke now for the second half of the year. But good morning to you all, and we praise God for you. So at this time, Minister Tamika, would you like to give a shout out, anyone? And while you're shouting out, shout out to our July babies, please. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Again, good morning to everyone. We thank you so much for joining us. It is a beautiful day. No matter where you are, it's a beautiful day because you woke up, and God is still continuing to bless you and keep you. And so we just give God praise, and we rejoice for all the things that he is doing. Thank you for being a loyal listener to Heart to Heart. And we give God praise because he chose us to be the vessels to lead the show. However, if he is in control and the show belongs to him. And so we want to just thank him for choosing us. And thank you all for being every Saturday for being here. You know, 9 o'clock in the morning, you could still be asleep. You know, but you can still be laying in your bed and listen. So that's the beauty of it all. And so, you know, we thank you so much. We thank you so much. And if you have a birthday this month, happy birthday to you. Many, many, many birthday blessings. May God give you the desires of your heart and enjoy the special day that God created for you, your birthday, the day you were born, the day that God said, hey, today is your day, so enjoy if you celebrate a birthday this month. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And while you're speaking, my love, you may as well go ahead and take us to the Lord in prayer. And everybody, yes, as she is praying, please don't just only listen to the prayers. Be in agreement with her. Touch and agree. There is power in touching and agreeing. And you don't want to touch and agree with just any old body. But all of you that are on this line right now have been on here for years. And you know the spirit in which this woman operates. So even before she opens her mouth, you can safely touch and agree with the prayer that she will be bringing forth. And you be in agreement with it. Praise be unto God. And you also can pray yourself. You can pray yourself. But we want to listen to how the Holy Spirit leads her and how he takes her through as she prays for us. And let us be blessed by it. And may you be a blessing because you know that God has blessed you. Go ahead, beloved.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus, oh, Father. There is power in the name of Jesus. And, Jesus, we just thank you We thank you. We honor you. We love you. We adore you. There is none like you. And so we give you the praise, and we just welcome you on this line right now to have your way. Whatever your people are experiencing right now, Lord God, I just pray for a spirit of peace to rest upon them now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Whatever decisions need to be made, Lord God, I pray that you be with them, and I pray that they listen, even if it's not the answer that they want to hear. Lord God, just let them receive from you in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we lay down our will right now, Lord God, the will that we think is the right way, the will that we think is better for our lives, Lord God. We lay it down before you, and we, Lord God, receive and accept and embrace your will for our lives and for the things around us, for the decisions that need to be made. We accept your will, the will that is better than our will, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father, we just thank you for all that you are doing in this season. God, you are a great God. You're a marvelous God. You're an awesome God. You're a loving God. You're a peaceful God, Lord God. We just give you praise, Lord, because without you, Lord God, we are nothing. And sometimes we try to do things on our own, Lord God. We try to move ahead of you. We try to make things work when it's not supposed to work, Lord God. We try to shut things down when we're not supposed to shut it down, Father. But, Lord, you are in control of all these things. And if we would just take a moment and be still and just listen and watch for what it is that you want us to do, we would be a much happier people. If we would just take the time to listen to you, to obey you, to watch for what it is that you are doing in the season that we're in, Father God, we would be a much happier people. If we would stop moving according to our flesh, but move according to your spirit, Father God, move according, Lord God, to what you placed in our hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, move according to who you created us to be, Lord, we would be a much happier people. And I'm not saying that means that we won't go through anything. It doesn't mean that we won't have hardships or struggles or trials and tribulations. I'm not saying that it doesn't mean that we won't have experienced certain storms, Lord God, but what that means is that we have the faith to know that you are walking us through it, Lord God. And so we don't have to worry, and we don't have to be anxious, and we don't have to suffer from anxiety and depression, because we know that you are with us. We know without a shadow of a doubt, we don't have to question it. You are with us, Lord God. And Father, we just give you praise, Father, because there is none like you, God. And I just thank you. I just thank you for the way that you love us. Oh, how you love us, despite our unlovable selves at times, Father. Lord God, oh, how you love us. And thank you, Lord God, for your heart. Thank you, Lord God, for your unconditional love. Thank you, Lord God, for your joy, your happiness, your peace, your healing, your deliverance, God. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we just honor you, and we praise you, and we worship you. Hallelujah, Lord God. Just have your way on heart to heart today, Father God. Have your way. Thank you, Lord God, for creating us. Thank you, Father God, for just giving us the tools, giving us the gifts, giving us the talents that we need, Father God, to carry your kingdom forward in the name of Jesus, oh God. So, Father, Lord, we get out of your way right now so that you can just rise and have your way and speak to your people in the way that you want to speak to them. We honor you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Praise God. Thanks to God. We, again, truly do thank the Lord, you know, for what he's doing and what he already has planned for the day, for the hour, for the moment, you know, what his plan is. And today we are going to be discussing the ministry of love. Now, this is dealing with a series that we have been dealing with, even though you may not have known it was a series. I don't even know if we said it. I honestly, I don't know. we have been talking about your supernatural call, the supernatural call on your life, and started out in June the 5th, about you have been called by God. Each and every one of us have been called by God with purpose in mind. We were created with purpose in mind. God had a plan, not only had, still has a plan for each and every one of us. And there's much that he has placed in us, and we are supposed to use what he has given us in order, you know, to accomplish the goal that he has set for us, to follow the plan that he has set for us. And, you know, the knowing that you have been called, knowing that your life truly is not your own, it was redeemed and or purchased by Jesus' blood, that we belong to him. And there's so much that we are to do with these lives, not just be satisfied with, because we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we've got a spot for us in heaven, and that's it, and be satisfied with that. There's more. There are crowns that we are to receive, jewels to go in our crowns. There are rewards in heaven, excuse me, for doing what God has called us to do. And we are to stay close to God. We need to know what is on the Father's heart. We really need to know that. You know, you cannot satisfy your loved one without knowing them, without having relationship with them, without knowing what is on their heart. You won't be able to please them to the extent that they need to be pleased. And you can only do that when you're dealing with the true love of God, the true love of yourself, and then being able to love your loved one. But we need to know one another. And you might say, well, wait a minute, Apostle. I do a lot of missionary ministry. I don't know those people personally. You may not know them personally, but there is love there because you are serving them with the compassion of God. And it is because of the compassion of God towards you that has given you also the compassion towards them. And you are serving them as God would have you to serve them. So you are able to show them love. You're able to show them love without getting to meet them. You pray for them. You do all kinds of things to see to it that the people that you are helping, you know, that their needs are being met. So God desires us to operate and operate with the ministry of love. He calls us to operate with the ministry of love. What do you think and say about this, beloved? What do you say?
So, yes, ma'am, I believe that love is very important in all relationships, in all relationships. Loving one another is what God wants us to do. You know, even when it's that person can be very unlovable, God still wants us to love them. And I think what happens is people view love in so many different ways. And a lot of those ways aren't healthy, and some of those ways aren't the way that God wants us to love. Some of those, the view people have on love comes from basically how they were loved. So if they didn't receive love, they don't know how to love. If their love was abuse or something like that, that's probably what they're going to show to somebody else, and somebody abused them and called it love. So that's their view, you know, that's their view of love. Somebody, you know, said that they loved them, but their actions showed the opposite. And so that's their view of love. Right?
Come on.
And so people have all these different views about what love is. Love is God. And when we love God, he will show us how to love each other. He, even to the point where with Judas, when Judas betrayed him, he still loved him, you know. Even though he knew he was going to be betrayed by this man, he still loved him. And that incident had to happen. It had to happen because it was part of what was supposed to go down. It was a part of what was supposed to happen. It was a part of what was going to shape, you know, our view and our interaction when it comes to Jesus dying on the cross. And so certain things have to happen, even when they're uncomfortable. Certain things have to happen. And so when we look at love, we have to remember that love is not truly based on what you can do for me. Love is not based on things like if you love me, then you would do A, B, and C. If you love me, then you would go buy me clothes or go buy me a car or things like that. Materialistic stuff, a lot of people base their love on that. So if somebody don't do these things for them, they say that that person does not love them. And yes, our love has actions behind it. However, when we say actions behind it, so if I tell Apostle that I love her, right, and so she's going to accept the fact that I'm saying that I love her. But if I slam the door in her face more than once, if I'm having a conversation with her and I'm yelling and screaming at her all the time, or I just hang the phone up in her ear while she's talking, if I say Apostle, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna take you to A, B, and C, and then she's excited, and then I don't show up, or I call and cancel every time I say that I'm going to do something for her, she may start questioning my love for her. And she has a valid point. She has a valid point to question my love for her. If I'm saying out of my mouth that I love her, but my actions aren't showing that, yeah, she has a valid point to now question, does Sabitha really love me? Because love does not slam the door in my face. Love does not yell and scream at me. Love does not hang the phone up on me when we're having a disagreement. Love does not, you know, tell me they're going to do something and they never do it, but they just keep saying it and never do it. So it just, that's why I'm saying people have different views of love. And when we say we love the Lord, our actions have to show people that we love God. Because again, we say we love God, but then we don't love our brothers and sisters. So God is saying, "You then you don't love me. If you don't love your brother and sister, then you don't love me." And love is unconditional. And if I say that I love you, and check this out, because I think this is where things get confused as well. If I say that I love you, but let's just say you hurt me. Okay, you hurt me. I forgive you. I love you. That doesn't mean that I have to open my heart up to you to that far again for you to hurt me again. But if you need me and the emergency comes up and you call me and you're like, "Listen, I have an emergency. I need your help. I'm there." You know, if you need prayer, I'm there. But when it comes to other little things, I'm still going to have my heart guarded because I've given you multiple times and every time you hurt me. So I'm a step back. And I'm a love you from afar, but when I say that I love you, my actions are going to still show that I love you. So that means that, like with the examples that I just said, if you need me, you call me, you have an emergency, you need some food, you need prayer, something, I got you. But when it comes to things like I'm sharing my business with you or I'm sharing something that's going on, you know, those type of things where I let you into my heart, deeply into my heart, that may no longer be on the table. Now, if God says, you know, make that relationship work, then, okay, God said make it work. I'm going to listen to what God says and I'm going to do what he says. But if God tells me, you know, there's no need to go back into the way that it was, okay, God, I'm going to listen because apparently you know something that I don't. Amen, Apostle?
Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. You know, in all of the things, in all of the things that we can do in this Christian walk, and all of the things that we can do, there are many things that we have trouble with. There are many things that we may not complete successfully. And loving is one of those things. Loving is one of those things. Loving people, though, is something that we all can do, and we all can start doing it even today. But, you know, when the scripture tells us that we are to love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, our will, our strength, you know, love him with everything that we got. And then it says we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. So many people forget that loving yourself is vitally important to loving others. We can produce kind acts to other people. We can be kind. We can be, you know, thoughtful of them. We can make it look so genuine, you know, and for some of us it is genuine as we're doing it. But the thing is, do you love yourself properly? Have you been able, as a minister to be mentioned, have you been able to receive the love of God? It is only from you receiving the love of God and believing that God truly does love you. He truly does love you. And when you're able to walk in that, that helps you to love yourself. I cannot tell you how many people that I minister to on a regular basis, who will tell me that they love God, and yet this person hates themselves. And then they, after realizing how much they dislike themselves, then they have to admit that they don't believe that God really loves them, that God really loves them. They measure the love of God by what he has done for them or what he hasn't done. If God has provided and answered every single prayer, oh, they are willing to shout from the rooftop, I know God loves me. Oh, he's a good God. He's great. You know, I asked him to heal my mother, and he did. I asked him to help me meet a financial need, and he did. I asked him for a car and a house, and he provided. God mm-hmm. is a good God. He loves me. But help me, somebody, for the person who prayed for their mother to be healed, and she went on mm-hmm. to be with the Lord. Help me for the born-again Christian, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, who lost their job and ended up being evicted because they could not pay the rent, or their house went in foreclosure because they could not pay the mortgage. Help me when someone that you're married to commits adultery and so forth, and this is a person who's supposed to love the Lord as well, and that relationship is torn apart because of the adultery. Saints of God, are we still saying, God is a good God? I know he loves me. I know he loves me. And see, you'll find out that people that are going through trials and tribulation have a difficult time sometimes saying, I know he still loves me. God is still God no matter what. I had come to the place in my ministry where I tell people that if God never does another thing for us, if he never does another thing for us, the fact that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he did that for us because he loved us. That verse starts out, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his son to die for us, but not just be tortured, be whipped, and so forth, then die for us, then to rise again. He had to complete the entire act. That was the entire total act of love and completion. And he did that for us. So, beloved, he did that. And, yes, with us accepting him as our Lord and Savior, yes, there are mighty, mighty and many benefits to the cross that we have privilege to, absolutely. But if he never healed our bodies, we, you know, seeing that manifestation, if he didn't stop the foreclosure from coming, if he didn't, if our mates still cheated on us, whatever the case may be, none of that negates the fact that God loves us. See, we have a way of measuring love because we're doing it in our flesh, in our human nature. We're doing it in that manner. That's how we measure love. But that's not how God measures love. There are a lot of things that we will do for other people, and we will call it love. And we will say, well, I did it because I love you. But that thing that we did may not be the thing that God rewards us for in heaven. You did it because you have a kind heart. You did it because you know it is what is expected of you. You did it because you need money, and it looks like, you know, that you're doing it out of love. You did it because she's your pastor or he's your pastor, and they expect you to do it, so you do it. But you didn't do it out of love. You did it out of obligation and so forth. And there are some obligations we do have with love. But I hope you're following me and understanding the path that I'm walking right now. A lot of things that we do that look good to the natural eye that would say that we are such a good guy, that people would think about it and say, man, that person is so awesome. They're great. They're wonderful and forth and so on. What you're doing may not mean a hill of beans to God. It may not mean a hill of beans. We have to do the things that God has called us to do to one another and truly loving one another and truly loving one another. God is adamant about that. He is adamant, you know. So just like the Pharisees who said, you know, that they had cast out demons in Jesus' name and they healed the sick, praise be unto God, and so forth. They did all of these things, you know, that made them look like they were Christ followers and so forth. And Jesus told them, depart from me. I never knew you. I have no part with you. I don't know you. So we can do a lot of things that appear to be loving, that appear to be this, that, and the other, but they are not what God rewards us for. You know, we do things that we're expecting sometimes God to say, atta girl, you done good. I love what you just did. Blase, blase. We do things, you know, and expect that this is what God is going to reward us for. And then when we get to heaven, we find out that our rewards that we, that God has given us and that we hand back to him, the size of our reward is very small. It is very small. And we say, you know, but God, I really do love, you know, the Lord, and you love them according to the way the world said that you should love, but heaven does not value what it is that you, what you value. And with that being said, I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and all of us that are versed in the Word of God know that that is the love chapter, that is the love chapter, but chapter 13, and I'm going to start at, where am I going to start? I said I was going to turn there. Okay. I'll go ahead and start at one. Verse one. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, let me stop there for a moment. Whenever I say charity, charity is also translated into meaning love. Charity and love, those two words, they're synonymous, one with the other. So whenever I will read where it says charity, I will read it with love for those of you, you know, that so that you can understand it better. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. It speaketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Beareth things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. So you see, beloved, the different things that God looks at and say, this shows love. This shows love. When you read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and look at what demonstrates what love really is, this scripture is read mostly at weddings. It's read mostly at weddings. But when we look at this, Paul here truly emphasizes the importance of love. He emphasizes that. So he tells us to abide in faith, hope, and charity, which is, again, is love. And, beloved, we cannot be all that God has called us to be without walking in love. So all of us, you know, you'll see other ministries that other people have, and you'll say, I can't do that, and I can't do that. But you can have the ministry of love. And when you love people, a multitude of doors will open for you. Just love them and do what God is telling you to do where they are concerned, and you will begin to receive rewards. What do you say, my love?
Yes, ma'am. I agree with what you just said, and as well as the scripture. I was laughing to myself when you said, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, because I had already brought that up on my phone to read. So when you said, let's turn there, I just laughed to myself like, we are always on the same page. But yes, ma'am. That's how we measure our love according to the word. So like Apostle just read the love chapter. So that is what we're supposed to measure our love. If we're doing all those things that the Bible just said, We know that we are loving. We're in the right standing of God's love and the way that he wants us to love. Also, when it comes to loving, you like Apostle said, everybody has the ministry of love. You can show love. It's free. You know, it's free. I know sometimes it may be hard to show love to someone, you know, that is just very, very, very harsh and mean. And even those people, we're still supposed to show love to. And if you find it hard to do, ask God to show you how to love this person, and he'll show you. And you know, sometimes we think that love is this hard thing, and we just can't do it. And it's the most easiest thing that we can do, because it's unconditional. It's supposed to be unconditional, because there are times when we've been mean to somebody, you know, but God still loves us. There have been times when we said something to somebody, God still loves us. And so just the way that God still loves us when we do things that are not pleasing unto him, that is the same way we are to love other people. Yes, they may have lied on you. They may have cursed you out. They may have stolen money out of your bank account. They may have done so many things to you. Love them through it. Forgive them. Love them through it. Now, don't leave your checkbook out anymore, you know, so that they can have access to it again. But love them, you know, let them know that you've forgiven them. Again, when it comes to forgiving, and I hear people say, I forgive them, but I never forget, or they'll say, I'll never forgive them. It's like I cringe when I hear people say, I never forgive them, because they don't know what it is that what they just put in the atmosphere. They don't know what that just did to them. And so I hear that a lot when you're watching certain shows on TV, when somebody say, I'll never forgive them, I just cringe, because I'm like, wow, God, they don't even know what they just said. Like, they don't even understand what they just said. They don't even understand the demonic doors that they just opened, just open to themselves. They just don't know because of what they just said. And when people say that, they really mean it. They really do mean it when they said they'll never forgive them because of whatever that person has done to them. But if they could only see the spiritual ramifications of not forgiving people, they would quickly change their mind and be like, okay, I didn't know that that's, I didn't know that that's what happens when I don't forgive. And so, you know, I understand some people, you know, some people don't forget. Some people play that same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over in their minds. And you may say, well, did you really forgive them? If you're saying that you forgive them, but you're constantly thinking about the situation, maybe you truly in your heart have not forgiven them. You have said it with your mouth, but in your heart you have not fully forgiven them. And so forgiving can become it's a process, and it's something that is done every day. You probably have to forgive somebody every day. Forgiving people never goes away. It never stops. So you just should expect, I'm gonna have to forgive somebody today, because people are people, and they're going to do things, and they're going to say things, and they're going to lie, and they're going to cheat, and they're going to steal. You know, but we are in control of forgiving. We are in control of loving. They should not play a part in whether we decide or not to forgive and love. We have control over that. So let's not give control to the enemy. Let's not give him control over our love and over our forgiveness. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. Do you have to be bosom buddies and the best of friends and hang out and do? No, you don't have to. You don't have to. But make sure that your heart is still filled with love. Make sure that your heart is still filled with love. Don't let the bitterness of that situation with that person take over. Don't let the tentacles and the suction cups and the roots of bitterness to take root in your heart, because once that bitterness begins to take over, it can be hard to let it go. So just make sure that your heart is right with the Lord. Make sure, and it doesn't hurt to every now and then talk to the Lord. Lord, show me my heart. Show me, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. I may think that I'm doing good, and I may think that I'm loving people that I'm the way that you want me to love. But, you know, sometimes we think that, but we're really not. So it's okay to say, God, show me my heart first, because sometimes we get caught up mm-hmm. in looking at everybody else's heart, but our hearts are a little messed up too. So, you know, just sometimes just every once a month or something, however often, hey, God, show me my heart. Am I right in your eyes? Did I forgive? Am I still loving the way that I'm supposed to be loving? Because guess what? Just because we have the title of Christian does not mean our hearts are right. It does not mean that our hearts are right. So introspection, mm-hmm. you know, asking God to because if you know, if you ask God to show us our own heart, at least you know that it's coming Ooh. From a genuine place. You know, it's real. It's what it is. It's no lie about it. It's what it is. And so when he shows you and there's things there that's not right, just fix it. Just fix it. And it's okay. You know, we are, as Christians, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to drop the ball sometimes, you know, but it's up to us to then realize it, recognize it, and then do what we need to do to fix it and continue to love and love just like God has loved us through things, just like God has forgiven us for a whole lot of stuff, even stuff that we say, God, you help me through this. I'll never do this again. And you did it again. So listen, he understands us. So the same way that he forgives and shows us love and loves us unconditionally, he's looking at us. He is looking at us to see if we are doing the exact same thing to our brothers and our sisters, you know, and mm-hmm. that's what it is. You may not like it. You may not love it. But guess what? If God said it, then it's what it is. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It is amazing, you know, as I'm listening to you and, oh, God, there were some thoughts that dropped in my spirit on how we are to love one another. And, you know, and the word says that they'll know we are Christians by our love. They will know that we are Christians by our love. And saints of God, please, I know all of you know that there are some people in your life that it is difficult to love. There are some people in your life that it's difficult to love. Loving everybody is a challenge, especially those people that have hurt you, those people who have deceived you, those people that you trusted, those people that you had faith in, and they betrayed all of that. You know, it becomes difficult to love that person. But when we remember what God did for us, Jesus, help me please, when we remember that we were unlovable, by the same standards that we judge somebody else, we also can be judged by those standards. And God looks at us in our sad, sick, pitiful, sin-sick state, all of the errors that we made, all of the things that we did on purpose, all of the sin that we committed, and those things yet to come. And he still loved us through it all. And he's calling us to do the exact same thing. And the thing is that we have to love ourselves also. But we can only do that if we can receive the love of God in all of its sincerity. And when we receive the love of God, then we have to learn how to love ourselves as we're loving him, not just receiving God's love, but to love God back. And remember, I told you, many Christians don't believe that God loved them. They don't believe it because they judge it by our earthly standards. That's how they judge it. Would it behoove you, hear me, would it behoove you to know that the KKK is supposed to be filled with a bunch of Christians, the KKK, who believe that it is God's sincere desire that all men were supposed to be white and pure white with no other mixture, no interracial marriages. Interracial marriages are disgraceful to them, according to the scripture, that if you're not pure white, that you're not of God. And they believe that God loves them, and they love God, and that's it. But now, if they truly loved God, then they would love the Jews, they would love the Negro, the African American, they would love the Asians, they would love them all. But they call themselves Christians. Now, thanks to God, those of us that don't walk in that way of life, you know, we say, how can you call yourself a Christian, you know, when you hate me because I'm black? You know, so how can you call yourself a Christian? Well, there are others that will say, how can you call yourself a Christian because you do thus, you know, they'll pick out a sin that you have and you do this. So how can you call yourself a Christian? So there's a lot of ways that we are judging one another, that we are judging one another. Let me take you to Romans 13, verse 8, that says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Let me read verse 9 to you in case you don't know what that means. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So, beloved, what it is saying here, that first of all, we shouldn't owe anybody anything except love. We shouldn't owe it. So even if there's someone we have to forgive, we should be forgiving them because we shouldn't owe them forgiveness. We shouldn't owe them anything but love. And then it tells us that love fulfills the law. How does it fulfill the law? If you love the way God would have you love, the first thing it says here, you would not commit adultery. You wouldn't kill. You wouldn't steal. You wouldn't bear false witness. Bear false witness is telling a lie. You wouldn't covet. Covet is wanting what belongs to someone else. You can want the same type of thing that they have, but coveting is wanting theirs. You want their wife. You want their car. You want their house. If there be any other commandment, it is comprehended by saying these things, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Loving your neighbor as yourself. You wouldn't want anyone to commit adultery against you. You wouldn't want anyone to kill you. You wouldn't want anyone to steal from you. So that you don't want someone to do to you, you shouldn't do it to anyone else. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And walking in the stealing, the adultery, and the you know, lying and all of that, none of that shows true love. None of that. If you're doing those things, you need to question. Look, you don't even have to question it. I mean, it's obvious. It's here in the Word. If you're doing those things, you're not operating out of genuine God-like love. You're not. You're not. And there are people who will do these things to you and say, but I love you. But I love you. You know, that's like somebody taking a belt and beating you. And we've had it happen in domestic violence. People are getting beaten every day, men, women, and children. And the perpetrator is saying, but I love you. They have a very wrong view of what love is. a very wrong view of what love is. So we have to read the Word of God, go back to the love chapter, read the Word of God, read the one another commandments. I tell you all about them quite a bit. There's 49 or 59 one another commandments. And it tells us what we should be doing to one another, Christian brothers and sisters to one another. So how can the KKK say that they love God, and they hate me because I have brown skin? So how can they say that they love God? And as Minister Tabika said, you better go to God and you better say, please, Father, check my heart. Check my heart. Check my heart. Help me to love the way that you said to love. Help me. Help me, Father, because I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. You know, if you are a police officer, man, you're supposed to love the people that you serve. You know, back in the day, they kind of did. They loved the neighborhood, the beat that they walked. They loved their neighborhood. The neighbors loved seeing Mr. Officer coming down the street. They love that. Not anymore. You don't see that happening anymore. But they used to do that. You know, if you're a teacher, the teachers are to love their students, love them. We have teachers who do love their students. But children, youth, young adults have become so violent in school that teachers are afraid to go to school, let alone love the students. And people don't realize how much a teacher puts their life on the line when they go to school. So this loving thing here, this loving thing that we're talking about today, the ministry of love, yes, it's going to take some work for us to do that. But the thing is, it's something each one of us can do. It is truly something that each one of us can do. So when we looked at chapter 13, when it was saying about love is patient and it's kind and so forth and so on, beloved, please, 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 it does not mean that we let people walk all over us. No, it does not mean we let people abuse us on a regular basis or any basis. We shouldn't be letting people abuse us physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. And there are people that will tell you that they love you, and they are hurting you constantly over and over and over again. That is not genuine love. That is the love that they can muster up out of their flesh, not out of their spirit, but out of their flesh. And then they want you to receive that as love when they know that they are abusing you. So, beloved, take this back to the Father. Take him and ask him to show us, show you, show me, myself. Help me to look inwardly, introspection, as Minister Tabika said, and say, Lord, I have trouble loving myself, so I don't know how to love others the way that your word is telling me to do it. I don't know how to. I'm having trouble loving myself, therefore I'm not loving others properly. There are those that are so deceived, they believe that they love themselves. But I'm telling you right now, God help me as I say this, I'm telling you right now, they think they love themselves, they think they love God. But if they are treating you against some of the things that we just spoke about here in the Word, if they are doing this to you, if they're doing wrong by you all the time and confessing that they are loving you, but they're doing wrong by you, trust me, they don't love themselves. They have been deceived. They do not love themselves. They have been deceived, and they are deceiving themselves by thinking that they love you. That's a hard thing to swallow, isn't it, Minister Tabika?
Yes, ma'am, it is. Yes.
That is a hard thing to swallow, because I know people who swear that they love themselves and swear that they love you, and yet, you know, there's always trouble and turmoil, always trouble and turmoil on how they're treating one another. That's not love. So just let me say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all of those that are here on this line today, for those that I am connected to, Father God, I pray that you would enlarge our heart, that we would feel the love of God, and that we would not keep it for ourselves, Lord, that we would release the love of the Father. Lord, right now, in our minds, in our hearts, show us people who we can practice loving on, who we can show that we love them like God loved us, like we love ourselves. Lord God, we want to practice the presence. We want to practice your love. We want to demonstrate your love for people. People need to hear this by the way that I love you. They need to hear this. So I know I want to tell you, Lord God, today that I love you. And I may not have done it right. I may not have. There are things that I have issues and concerns about in my own life. And Lord, I ask you to make those things clear to me so that I, Lord God, can come before you with a pure heart, with a pure heart. I don't want to fake this thing about loving you, fake it about loving myself, fake it about loving others. Help me to understand your love. Help me, Lord God, to love myself so that I can properly love everybody. Your word even tells us that we are to love our enemies. Lord, help me to be able to do that. I pray that each and every one of you today, that as you're listening, that you have the same prayer going before the Father. Help us all sell in the ministry of love. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You got any last words, beloved?
Only that this is awesome. To God be the glory, and I really pray that it touched someone's heart, and for those that will come back and listen, that it will touch their hearts as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Amen. Well, thanks. That is it. This is Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes signing off today here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Take care and have a blessed weekend. God bless you all.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.